Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with James Hoffman. James is a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and we recently connected via Zoom to talk more about his background, how he decided to pursue an MBA, what led him to Darden, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with James Hoffman. James, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Brett. Thanks.
It's great to have you here. How are you doing at this time?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, COVID times are challenging times. I know we've all felt a bit disconnected from those we love, unless, of course, they live in the same house with you. I'm certainly no different. But I think, you know, if we all focus on getting vaccinated, there'll be new life around the corner. When I think about work and I think about Darden, they probably place most tremendous time challenge on me that I had. But now that we're three quarters in and I've got an amazing learning team, I'm really starting to pick up momentum and really excel. And it's really exciting.
Well, that's great to hear. Have you picked up any hobbies, pastimes? Maybe Darden's taken all your free time, but anything you've picked up over the past year or so?
I won't say new hobbies, but I did get recently married. So I'm learning how to become a better husband each day. And I think that's a really important point for our listeners. When and if you consider Darden, make sure you have those really intentional conversations with your family because they are an amazing support system. So I think my biggest hobby is balancing things like the weighted average cost of capital and econ with becoming a better husband and dog parent, perhaps.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations, James. I know from talking with you over the summers, you were getting ready for the start of school. I knew your nuptials were pending and forthcoming. So I'm glad to hear all is going well and you're hanging in there. And thank you for coming on the show today to talk a little bit more about your journey here as a Darden student. So tell us a little bit more about you and your background.
Sure. Well, I'm a Richmond native and I live and work here now, Richmond, Virginia. I'm a product of St. Christopher's School and Hampden-Sydney College, where I was a government major. I'm someone who I think for some time was thinking about Darden and then realized that I needed to overlay a set of soft skills with some business knowledge and hard business skills. So I spent about 7 years representing different clients in the General Assembly on behalf of two lobbying firms. And I realized it was time to make a switch and chose Verizon and Darden really almost at the same time.
So had you thought about an MBA for a while? Was it a relatively recent idea for you? Tell us a little bit more about that.
I thought about it for perhaps maybe 4 or 5 years on and off, but I think when I made the transition from contract lobbyist and working in the General Assembly to corporate America, and I saw people who in my line of work could talk the talk, had soft skills and understand and understood the technology of our business. But then I also saw that they had the hard business skills and the hard business knowledge. And I just recognized that was something I lacked. And so I wanted to go to the best place I could to get that skill. And we're lucky in Virginia, we have great institutions. And one of them is certainly Darden.
You mentioned starting your journey at Verizon and at Darden at roughly the same time. Tell us a little bit more about the work that you're doing at Verizon.
In 2018, I had the opportunity to represent one of Verizon's competitors as part of an industry-wide effort to pass legislation making permitting in local governments easier and more efficient for 5G ultra-wideband technology. After that legislation was passed, I was asked to join Verizon, move downstream and implement that very legislation. So as the network real estate manager for Verizon in Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, I'm focused on using that legislation, working with local governments to make sure that we are permitting sites and building sites efficiently and effectively so we can really provide an amazing 5G experience for our customers. It's really, really exciting as we're building out what is really a new ecosystem for Americans and across the country. If you think about when we were in a 3G world, We were maybe sending some text messages, maybe sending some images. 4G is when the Internet of Things really accelerated and things like Uber popped up, right? Well, now with 5G, there'll be things we know of, like drones or firefighters being able to see in the dark, because that increased speed will allow that. But there are also things we can't even see that will be enabled that haven't even been built yet because the ecosystem hasn't been built yet. So at Verizon, we're excited that we're building that ecosystem. Your phone's going to get faster. But it's not as much about the phone anymore as it is about all the experiences that will be developed off the network that we're building. Life-changing experiences that will be developed. Some we can see and some we can't.
So James, when I'm hearing you describe the work that you're doing with Verizon, it sounds complicated, like potentially you're working with a lot of different stakeholders. What does your day-to-day look like?
It's really a constant external communication. You know, I'm working with local governments to make sure we have the master agreements we need to have access to that right of way. Then I might be helping solve permitting problems. And then a number of our sites are past permitting and they're in construction. And when they're in construction, the public wants to know, well, what's that? How does it work? And I'm generally the guy that they reach out to. So it's really a combination of making Verizon as efficient as we can be, helping local government find efficiencies with our permits. And then as we're building, making sure the community knows what's going on and all the ways that our network's going to really improve their lives.
Yeah, I was thinking about this as an end user. You just know your phone and you're accessing content, different things that are enabled by the network. People don't know all the things that go into making all of that possible.
That's right. And I think in this new era, this small cell era, we are more local government focusing than we've ever been before, because these small cells for us are 5G ultra wideband network. There'll be, you know, hundreds of sites perhaps in cities, and each one of those individual sites has conduit for power and fiber. So they're all little individual cell sites. So it's very labor intensive.
All right. Well, I imagine our listeners are learning some things about 5G and how it all runs. And so thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Talk a little bit more about Darden. So you'd mentioned sort of thinking about an MBA to get the hard skills and sort of the business perspective. Darden was, of course, you know, on your radar as a school in Virginia. You'd mentioned that fortunate to live here in Virginia, where there are fantastic schools. What about Darden particularly resonated with you?
I think the first thing is faculty. And the second thing is community. We all know, because we can Google it, that Darden has amazing faculty. They're caring, they're empathetic. They understand when they need to push you, but they also understand that you're a working professional and they're flexible when they need to be, and that's certainly appreciated. The other thing that stood out to me about Darden that has been magnified since I enrolled is the intentional way that you and your staff have picked our community. And that is not only just the students as a group, but our individual learning teams. I am surrounded by the most amazing people I have ever met. Certainly some of the most amazing people I've ever met. Whether you're a Navy SEAL or an Olympic athlete, someone who has four kids trying to get an MBA.
Well, we talk a lot when we're on admissions webinars and application hotlines and things like that. We are trying very intentionally to shape the class. Lots of different people, different backgrounds, different industries, lived experiences, work experience, all of that coming together. And then you sort of think about how that works on the learning team level. For our regular podcast listeners, they've heard this discussion before. But if you're new to the podcast, I mean, these are 5 to 6 person teams that are put together by student affairs, working with admissions to try to have sort of a small, diverse group of people, different backgrounds, different skill sets. It's a nice touch point for you academically as you get started in the program, socially as well. You have an immediate connection to, you know, 4 or 5 other people. And, you know, I think this past year, certainly talking with your class, it feels like we've got a good mix of people on these teams. Like I'm hearing a lot from you and your classmates about the learning teams, and they seem to be working well. Tell us a little bit more about how your team functions. Every team has its own way of approaching what they do and in school, but what does your team do?
Well, Learning Team 25 is an amazing group of people. And we're very committed to one another, and we're very structured in that we usually meet on a Sunday night and we'll plan the schedule for the next week. So if you've got class on Tuesday, we're meeting Monday night. If you've got class on Thursday, we're meeting Wednesday night. And we stick to those times. And if we in fact can't meet or someone can't join, we record for them. But I think it's all about recognizing that you can't get through this alone. You need supportive faculty and staff, you need supportive family, and you need a supportive learning team, because perhaps where I'm strong, others may need some help. In areas where I am not as strong, I have some amazing people on my learning team that are able to pick me up and guide me through.
That's the culture that we talk a lot about here. It's always great to hear students come and share that's their experience, even early on in the program. I mean, your class, as you mentioned, you're through three quarters, you're in quarter four right now. So you're taking global economics operations. And I think you have an elective, right? You have a choice of either defining moments or transforming societies. Which of those classes are you in?
So I chose transforming societies. I felt, and I think this is part of the Darden experience that I needed to broaden myself, see more things, get out in the world a bit more. And I have learned and seen and come to understand a number of things that I'd never thought about. And that's been a real cornerstone of the TS experience, as we call it.
Nice. So it sounds like you're enjoying that class.
Absolutely.
All right. So how do things feel in quarter four? By this point, you've taken some of the real, quant classes in the program. You've taken accounting and finance, and this is now your second half of global economics, and you've got ops going. You've also taken, I think, leading organizations, leadership communication, so a lot of different things. But I'm sure some of our listeners perked up when they heard accounting, finance, decision analysis, global economics. So how are things going?
Things are going really well. Everybody knows where they're strong. And so I think everybody can kind of guess where they are going to do well to some extent, based at least on strengths. But I was worried coming into the program that maybe as a government political philosophy major, maybe my math background wouldn't be as strong and would be a disadvantage. But what I've really learned is if you're willing to put in the time and you're able to lean into and trust your learning team, you can do extremely well in all of these, all of the courses, even the ones you're not as confident in or comfortable with. And I've learned that things like economics, something I've had no previous experience in, is an area of relative strength.
I'm sure we have listeners who are saying, like, look, I've never taken these classes before. And it might be the thing that feels most intimidating to them when they think about an MBA curriculum, particularly at a place like Darden, where you have a core. You cannot avoid these classes. So what was your journey like? As you kind of mentioned government philosophy, now you're coming into an MBA program, you know you're going to have to take these quant courses. Did you do anything to brush up? How did you kind of get over that sort of, man, I don't have any background in this kind of feeling?
The school does provide, and I certainly took advantage of, pre-matriculation materials. There's a couple of great courses that they refer you to kind of get your wheels turning before you really have to pick up speed as part of the program. So I took advantage of those things. I also attended, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners have, a lot of the optional opportunities, we'll call them, or mock classes. I think those are really, really helpful. But frankly, none of that is going to prepare you completely for the cold call experience in class. And I think one of the most important things in the areas where your weakness or where you are weakest is really to not be afraid. And know that everybody else is having the same experience you're having. If you've got a question, throw yourself out there and ask it, and you will improve.
I like that advice, James. I think it's great, because rather than avoiding something, you go to it and you say, look, it's the only way I'm going to learn. And I think it's always important to acknowledge that everybody is here to learn. You're here because you don't maybe know anything about this. And so it's all upside.
That's right. You have to run to contact, and you have to realize that if you really are going to learn, then down is the way up. And the sooner you humble yourself and raise your hand the sooner you're going to get that game and live into a bit of a new life.
So it sounded like, based upon what you shared earlier in the conversation, that you're starting to get some momentum, probably feeling a little bit more settled in the program at this point. What's been the impact of your Darden experience thus far? I recognize it's relatively early days, but you are in quarter four, so about 7-8 months in.
Well, I certainly have skills that I never had before. Corporate finance, I literally knew nothing comparatively about corporate finance apart from what comes on our earnings reports or our earnings calls at the company. And I could generally piece that together, but I understand things like that so much better. Economics, I think, has been my single most exciting percentage increase. And, you know, when I hear the Fed chair talk about things, or when I'm reading the business section, I mean, it all seems to make sense now. I think I had a general high level understanding of things before joining Darden, but I'm just a much more effective person, not just professional, because I just understand so much more in a day-to-day life.
What about economics has resonated with you? You've mentioned it a couple times as being like a real standout subject. And it feels like economics is in the news all the time right now,
right?
Whether people are talking about inflation or what's going on in the world. What's resonated with you about the subject?
Well, I think the professors, Professor DeBeer and Dennis Yang, have been absolutely wonderful. There's a lot of information to get through, but they deliver it in an amazing fashion. And I've been very grateful for that. I've tried to draw parallels between economics and other learning. And economics for me is all about building a story in my mind and imagining the levers of the economy moving and what that looks like in the real world. And I think some of my political philosophy work and classwork at Hampden Sydney really prepared me for that. But those are really some things that have stood out about economics.
So what are you looking forward to in the months ahead? You know, you have anything circled on your calendar, anything in the program that you're excited about?
I think I'm excited to transition from Q5 to Q6 and get more into elective work. Things that really speak to a little bit more, not necessarily more, but I just think speak to my future, maybe not just from a core perspective. But I'm taking things like the consulting process and things that I really know will be beneficial in the future.
In the world of executive MBA programs, I actually think Darden's executive MBA program offers students a lot of elective choice. You have 12 electives that you take in this program. And what was your approach as you thought about electives or what electives were of interest to you? Were you thinking about your career and your job mostly?
I think I was thinking as much about kind of whole person development and building my strengths as an individual, just as much as I've been thinking about building my strength as a professional and as I hope to continue and grow my career at Verizon. I think that's a outgrowth and byproduct of a Darden MBA, is that you begin to really focus on how you can become a better professional and a better person as much as you are enhancing your day-to-day effectiveness. And understanding. Yeah.
That last point, certainly one that comes up, and I think it's one of the things that's maybe a little bit surprising to people. As you kind of learn about Darden, you tend to think MBA program, hard skills, I'm going to learn a lot about business, but almost to a person, particularly when alumni or students who are towards the end of the program come on, they do talk a lot about all the self-work you do. So learning about who you are and kind of wanting to be a better version of yourself. For you, where do you feel like that's coming from in the program? Is it just something that's kind of there, or what's pushed you in this direction?
Well, I think an aspect of Darden is frankly pushing you closer to your limit or to your limit. And I think when anything pushes you to your limit and tests yourself, you have to grow new skills and become more efficient and effective. And I think with respect to time management or with respect to business skill, Darden really has that effect. It's pushed me to find time I never knew existed. And when Darden is over, and hopefully, a knock on wood, I have an MBA and I'm just a professional again, well, there's all this time to accomplish more and accelerate my career and build this network we're so committed to building.
Yeah, that is one of the things that people kind of get to the end of the program and they're like, well, what am I going to do with all these hours that I've found in the day? Maybe not immediately after graduating, people do enjoy having a little bit more free time, but pretty soon thereafter, people fill up their schedules with all sorts of things because your sense of your capacity has changed, perhaps.
I think that's right.
So last question here for you, James. What's one piece of advice or a few pieces of advice that you might share with our prospective student listeners? Anything that you think they should be thinking about?
Don't be afraid. And the people that you're talking to, if you're talking to Brett or another member of the admission staff, or you're talking to your college professors and trying to decide, you know, what to do, know that they're there to help you and support you and lean into that. I'd also say, don't forget that Darden, as much as any other program I'm familiar with, is and I would frankly say more, is about a whole person evaluation. So don't get in a silo thinking that, well, because you're weak in one area, you won't be an excellent MBA student, because that's just not true. And Darden wouldn't be as amazing a place if it didn't have people that had your strengths.
I really love both of those points. I would say on that last point in particular, there are so many different people who can be successful at Darden, and people always ask us what we're looking for. And the answer is quite long, you know, all these different things that are on our minds. But first and foremost, we're thinking about the classroom, thinking about the perspective that you'll bring, your openness to other people's perspectives. But we're also thinking outside of the classroom too. I mean, executive MBA program, surprising to people, has 10 plus student organizations at this point. And so there's so many different things. And so oftentimes people will talk themselves out of this process. Certainly appreciate your advice, James, to not do that, to you know, continue to push forward, because lots of different people can be successful here.
Absolutely.
Well, James, I know it's a busy time for you. I know you got a zillion things going on, Darden included. So really appreciate your taking time out for the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for inviting me, Brett.
And that was my interview with James Hoffman, a first-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We could be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.